Boise State University was a very different campus when Bob Custra took over as president in 2003. Then it was known more as a commuter school with about 18,500 students. Today, the university boasts more than 24,000 students from all over Idaho, the West, the country, even the world. I think it's fair to say that under Custra's tenure, Boise State University became a vibrant, vital university. And come June 30th, this season for BSU and for Custra is coming to a close. President Custra is set to retire that day. He joins us live in studio right now to talk about his achievements, his legacy, and, of course, what's next. So thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Gemma. Congratulations on Idaho Matters.
Oh, well,
very cool.
Thank you for being such a big supporter of this.
Yeah.
We couldn't have been here without you, so thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to start just by asking you about when you arrived at the university, A, what did it look like, but also what made BSU so attractive to you?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing I remember about arriving here is at the airport where there was this little bitty carousel, one carousel moving luggage around. And I thought, where have I landed? I
right?
mean, this is really a small town. And you go to the airport now and it looks like a big city. It's so different. And then I got to the campus and it was very clear that the campus was trying to do everything, and it had spread itself very thin. We had a community college, or at least I guess I should say a technical college at the time, embedded in the university. At the same time, we were trying to grow graduate programming, and those are two very different missions, technical education, professional technical education, as we call it, and of course, graduate programming. And one of the first things I realized was that there's no community college here in town? How'd that happen?
Well, right. Back in 2003, there wasn't.
Right. So we campaigned for a community college. And, of course, CWI is most successful today. And it has a different mission and role than ours. And in the meantime, once we were able to move our professional technical training over to CWI, that allowed us to focus our resources more than on graduate education and also at the same time improving the undergraduate climate of the university. There's no doubt that I oftentimes say when people ask me, what's the big difference? I could walk across the campus in 2003, 4, and 5 and at noon, and you could shoot a cannon across it and not hit anybody. I mean, there was just, it's like, where are all the students? We're supposed to have, I don't know what it was then, 17,000 students or something on the campus. Well, they were taking evening classes. They were part-timers. There really wasn't the full-time residential population that we have today and that come from all over Idaho and all over the American West and even beyond. So more than anything else, I just noticed that we really needed to build a residential and undergraduate experience that could really play a significant role in the lives of our undergraduates.
So was that part of your vision then when you took over as president? Because under your tenure, I mean, we have seen that happen. I remember when all of those residence halls were being built along the Greenbelt. And there used to just, be two residence halls. I mean, there's a lot more now. So was that a vision that you had when you took on this role?
Well, I have to be honest and say I'm not so sure I had the vision initially until we won the 2007 Fiesta Bowl.
and then all of a sudden everybody started calling.
Exactly. They started emailing. I had 300 emails when I got back from the Fiesta Bowl game, and they were from all over the country. And that's when the light went on. Wait a minute. We can figure out a way to take the rest of the university, its academic programming, to this national stage that the Fiesta Bowl gave us. And that's precisely what we did. We found a way to really market the rest of the university to high school students. In fact, the very first year after the Fiesta Bowl, we actually identified the high schools where the football players who won that Fiesta Bowl came from and went in looking for their academic all-stars. Introducing them to Boise State, not just as a place with a blue field, but a Boise State that has a College of Engineering, a Boise State that has a College of Education, Arts and Sciences, whatever it is.
And I think part of your tenure there, too, it's not just the residence halls. It is, as you said, the academics, because there are new buildings that have come up. We've got Micron. We have the arts building that is in progress. There are some other things coming up, and it was this part of it too, though, is that if you can take what you said as, you know, you get this win at the Fiesta Bowl, but you had the academics in place, was it a matter of just creating more of that?
Mm-hmm. It was a matter of creating more of it, and it was a matter of improving the overall academic quality through the expansion. And what I called it at the beginning was the Metropolitan Research University of Distinction. Mm-hmm. And we've used that brand throughout the last 15 years. And on the research side, what that meant was attracting faculty, young faculty, to Boise State out of the finest graduate schools in the country and then turning them loose on graduate programming, but also in the undergraduate classroom as well. And just one example, one of our premier engineering faculty in material science engineering also teaches a course in our foundations class for first-year students, along with one of our historians, Peter Mulner and John mm-hmm. Beter. And the class is such a perfect example of how Boise changed, because there's no way we would have had that kind of talent if we really didn't create some academic programs that attract these quality faculty. And then to have these quality faculty say, hey, look, I'm going to be in the lab, and yeah, I'm going to be working on graduate classes, but I want to get down and meet the first-year students. And that's exactly what Peter Mulner and John Beter have done. And there's, again, I used two of the faculty. Many of them are doing the same thing across the campus.
And there's an honors college. So I think there are some naysayers that may say, well, are the academics up to par at BSU? You've just opened a brand-new honors college. And I would assume in order to build a building like that, you actually have to have students that can go through a program like that. Mm-hmm. What would you say to the naysayers out there who talk not so great about the academic part of BSU?
Right. Well, the Honors College is just one small part of it. But if you look at the GPAs and the test scores of the entering freshmen that we take at Boise State for the last indefinite number of years, they've been increasing each year. So we continue to get better students at Boise State every single year. In the case of the Honors College, when I got here, I think we had about 300 people in the Honors College. And then we hired Andrew Finstuen, who came in, and he told me the other day, he's the dean of the Honors College, there were 400 when he got here. 900 students today in the Honors College. And if you look at their GPAs and their test scores, you can see that they can get it, they can go to school anywhere they want. We just had a computer science major make the decision after Bronco Day just a few weeks ago that he was coming to Boise State. He had 11 choices. There were 11 schools he applied to that let him in. Some of them Pac-12 schools up and down the West Coast that anybody would recognize mm-hmm. the name. And he chose Boise State. He chose Boise State because of the incredible quality of our computer science program, the fact that it's downtown, the fact that it's just steps away from incredible internships for the students who can actually learn on the job, so to speak. It's just a great opportunity for kids, and they recognize it if they're coming from Seattle or Portland or California or North Idaho.
I'm speaking with President Bob Kustra of Boise State University. If you have any questions or comments, we sure would like to hear from you. You can do that by going to idahomatters@boisestate.edu or on Twitter, KBSX 91.5, or on our Facebook page, Boise State Public Radio. So we all know you're retiring. You will still be a part of Boise State University, though. We're going to continue Reader's Corner, your very popular program that you can listen here every Friday night. What else will you be doing with BSU? We've heard rumblings of teaching, maybe.
Well, 3 years ago, we established the School of Public Service. And I had a hand in that and thought that the political scientists who came to me with the idea were right on, that we should find a way to bring together students in global studies, political science, criminal justice, international relations. We brought them all together in one college, or we call it school, the School of Public Service. Well, I have 3 degrees in political science, and so the only place for me to continue my involvement with the university would be in the School of Public Service. So that's where I'm going to hang out. I've asked to avoid grading papers. I did that for a lot of years.
You don't need to do that anymore.
Right. I thought, can't I just meet with students and lecture occasionally? And I'm also going to be doing a little bit of writing with the Idaho Policy Institute, and we're gonna have fun. It's gonna be a new way of life for me. It's been a long time. I was 28 years in the classroom, but boy, the last classroom I left was Northwestern University in 1998. And in those days, the only thing the internet could do for you was put your syllabus up,
right,
and that was
right,
it. You know?
Exactly. Was it a hard decision to decide to retire?
It was. It was a very hard decision. In fact, I flunked the decision about three times. I mean, if you look back, my staff would laugh at me saying this because they remember how many times I would say things like, well, you know, I'm only going to be around here another year, and then you're going to have to adjust to somebody else, so we better kind of clean things up for what's coming. And that was 4 years ago, right? And then 3 years ago, I would say the same thing. And every year there was another reason to stay. The last reason to stay was the best, though. Because I really was going to retire a year before. And my grandson, who lives in suburban Chicago, called and said he wanted to come to Boise State. And it was like, whoa, I don't want to leave 1 month before I could be in front of the convocation speaking
right.
to him and his parents. So I stayed another year, and Kathy and I have had a great time this year watching Boise State and student life in a much different
I say it has
and
to
more
be
personal
different.
Way. It is. I told him, I said, you know, Brendan, I wish you had come around about 10 years sooner. I've learned more about this university through you than
imagine
I knew.
The things I could have done.
That's right. The president's office, they don't tell you everything in the president's office. But boy, when you talk to a student who's living it day to day, you get you get the whole nine yards.
What are you going to do on your first official day of retirement?
I'm going to get on a plane and fly to Chicago to spend some time with our kids. And then we're going to Asheville, North Carolina for a few weeks where we used to live and have some friends. And then we'll be back here, I hope, in time for football. But we're going on one cruise. We're going to do a cruise of Northern Europe.
I think you deserve it. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you, Gemma.
So appreciate it. We've been talking to Boise State University President Bob Custer as he gets set to retire and wrap up 15 years at the helm of BSU.